Each of the passages that we read this morning describes a multitude. In both, the multitude is gathered in the presence of God for worship. One is visible and one is invisible. It's a vision. The visible multitude is gathered for the dedication of the temple. King Solomon addresses the elders of Israel, all the heads of the tribes, the leaders of the ancestral houses, and the priests as they carry the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord out of the city of David, and they bring everything from the tabernacle, the tent of the meeting, and they place it in the newly built temple in Jerusalem. And there Solomon gets on his knees and he spreads his arms wide and he prays to God to dedicate the temple. The passage that we read this morning is at the very end of that prayer. And he stands up and he turns to the assembly, the multitude gathered there, and he gives them this blessing. He says, "The Lord be with us as he was with our ancestors. May he not leave us or abandon us, but incline our hearts to him, to walk in all of God's ways and to keep God's commandments." Solomon is praying that the assembly gathered there would become saints. A saint is a person who is acknowledged as holy. Did you know you're a saint? Do you ever like raise your hand up and go, "Hey, I'm a saint"? Do you think of yourself as a saint? A saint is a person who is holy. And to be holy means that you are dedicated and faithful to God. You are a saint. And we call the process of becoming saints, because we all have our unsaintly moments, right? If you don't have an unsaintly moment, now's not the time to talk about it. Okay, so we all have our unsaintly moments, correct? So we're in a process of becoming the saints. And that process is called sanctification. So how do we get sanctified? Two ways. First, we don't do it. And we acknowledge that we don't do it. Sanctification is not our work. Solomon prays for God to be with them and to incline their hearts to God. Second, it doesn't happen when we're alone. Solomon prays for the multitude. It is the work of the Holy Spirit, both in us and as individuals and as a multitude, that transforms us. Our hearts are inclined toward God as the Holy Spirit works in us as we live in community, so that we live lives of, and this is the definition of sanctification, of increasing holiness, righteousness, mercy, service, power, and love. As we are changed more and more into the image of Christ. Sanctification is becoming more and more like Jesus. It's the process of having the mind of Christ in us. And God is the one who makes us saints, so that we're not only part of this visible multitude, but so that we are part of the visioned multitude from Revelation. From every nation, all tribes, and all peoples in all languages, all standing before the throne. And the scripture tells us they are robed in white with palm branches, crying out, "Salvation belongs to our God, who is seated on the throne and to the Lamb." One multitude, all the saints. One of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s powerful quotes came to mind for me this week as I worked on this sermon. He says, we may have all come on different ships, but we're in the same boat now. We may have all come on different ships, but we're in the same boat now. One multitude gathered at the throne, worshiping. We are all on that boat, and our ancestors are on that boat. And for the early Christians, the symbol of the boat was very important. The first prayer that we have recorded for a baptism ritual says that you are received into the ark of Christ's church. Isn't that beautiful? Into the ark of Christ's church. May so pass the waves of this troublesome world, it says, as finally to come to land on everlasting life. Isn't that a beautiful prayer to offer at a baptism? May you be received into the ark of Christ's church and so pass the waves of this troublesome world that you finally come to land on everlasting life. In fact, symbolizing being on a boat together and to safely navigate the troubled waters of this world has been around and so important to us as early Christians that in 375, the Apostolic Constitution said this: when thou callest an assembly of the church as one that is the commander of a great ship, appoint the assemblies to be made with all possible skill, charging the deacons as mariners to prepare places for the brethren as for passengers, with all due care and decency. And first, let the building be long, with its head to the east, with its vestries on both sides at the east end, so that it will be like a ship. In 375 AD, they started saying the church should look like a ship, like a boat, like an ark. They designed sanctuaries to look like a boat. The main body of the church, in fact, is called, do you know what it's called? The nave. The nave. The main body where you're sitting, where all the pews are, is called the nave. And that word comes from Latin, navis. And that word means ship. You are sitting in the hull of the ship. Here you are on the ark. Look up. You can see the hull. You can see the bottom of the ship. That's why our churches are shaped the way they are. We are in an upside-down boat. The multitude. We may have all come on different ships, but we're in the same boat. And as we gather at this table, all the saints, because here is the communion of saints. The visible multitude comes here, and the visioned multitude gathers here to receive the presence of God. And here we are fed by God's grace and gathered into a boat to weather the storms of life together. The floods are going to come. They will. The thunder is going to roar. The boat is going to go through squalls. Do you know what you're supposed to do if you're in a boat in the middle of a storm? Go to the middle. Come tighter in. That's the instruction for the multitude. Here again, the blessing of Solomon to the multitude and the song of the multitude in worship at the throne. Blessed be the Lord, who has given rest to his people Israel according to all of God's promises. Not one word has failed of God's good promises. The Lord our God be with us as he was with our ancestors, never leaving us, never abandoning us, but inclining our hearts to God, to walk in all of God's ways and to keep his commandments. And blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen.